From the studios of WHQR Public Radio in Wilmington, this is Coastline. I'm your host, Rachel Lewis-Hilburn. Our topic today is safe communities versus citizens' rights. It was the shooting of an unarmed Michael Brown in Ferguson, Missouri, that launched a nationwide debate over police tactics. Brown, who is African American, was killed August 9th by a white Ferguson police officer. Just weeks earlier, an unarmed Eric Garner died on Staten Island after being put in a chokehold by police for allegedly selling cigarettes illegally. But questions around the use of force by police had already been marinating in the Cape Fear region. The shooting of three suspects by officers last fall following the robbery of a Wilmington Pizza Hut, the shooting of a woman earlier this year who was reportedly suicidal, and the shooting and killing of Brandon Smith also last October after a car chase and a foot pursuit launched local protests and public outcry. At the August 19th Wilmington City Council meeting, Councilmember Earl Sheridan asked the city manager, in conjunction with the police department, to answer questions about community relations training for police, the kinds of tactical weapons that the department has, along with policies on their use, whether police wear cameras on their uniforms, and the degree of diversity on the police force. Chief Ralph Evangelist was scheduled to appear before council last night with a report, but a family emergency has taken him out of town, and of course, we wish the chief and his family the best. Joining us today to speak for the Wilmington Police Department is Deputy Chief Mitch Cunningham. Deputy Chief Cunningham, welcome to Coastline.
Good afternoon.
Also with us in the studio today, she's president of the New Hanover County chapter of the NAACP, Deborah Dix Maxwell. Welcome to the program.
Thank you.
During the next hour, you're invited to join our discussion. Do you think local police are guilty of using excessive force? Are they doing their best in tough circumstances? Do you have a question for Deputy Chief Cunningham or Deborah Dix Maxwell? Give us a call at 910-343-1138. You can send an email to coastline@whqr.org. You can also tweet us using coastlinehqr. Deborah Dix Maxwell, the local NAACP has been a vocal critic of recent police tactics. What's the problem from your point of view?
As you mentioned the word excessive force, unfortunately, we realize we've already had grand jury decisions that have said it wasn't, but the community itself feels that it is. It's deterred the efforts of community policing and trust within the community.
Deputy Chief Cunningham, why do you think this concern, this vocal protest over local police tactics, has crescendoed so sharply within the last year? Do we have a problem?
I think our problem is we have to bridge the gap of trust in our community and spend time showing the types of policing we do and bring the community closer together in our decision making, in transparency into all the things we do, so that they can see that this is a police department that is focused on meeting the needs of the community.
So you're saying if there was greater transparency, then that would be one way to bridge this trust gap?
Meaning that we just need to do more. We have to look for every opportunity we can, and we've been doing a lot recently, but we need to look for every opportunity we can to tell our story and talk to people about our professionalism and about the things we're doing on behalf of the community.
Deputy Chief Cunningham, can you describe from an officer's point of view what it's like when an officer gets a call for a potentially incendiary situation, a tense situation, or potentially deadly, perhaps? What happens? What goes through his head? How does he approach the situation? What is that like for those of us who've never been in a circumstance like that before?
Sure. Well, it's important to note, of course, that that goes on every night and sometimes during the day. Our officers are engaged in urban policing. This is a busy city. And every night or during the daytime, they're faced with an unknown situation. Immediately, they call upon their training. They try to gather as much information as they have, as they can prior to arriving on the scene. They may take some preemptive steps to tactically prepare themselves, which means they may not go immediately to the scene. They may ask that another officer meets them at a certain staging point, and then together they will approach the scene. But every scene potentially can be explosive, and we know that there's a lot of weapons on the street. We've done some recent studies, and we know that, for example, we're basically taking a gun off the street every day in Wilmington.
Can you think of a circumstance that you've been in as a police officer? And you said that you've been here a couple of years, but you worked for many years in Maryland. Can you just describe a circumstance without naming names or anything that would identify that circumstance in which you received a call like that, and just take us through it?
Well, after 30 years, there's been quite a few. If you're talking from a patrol perspective, and in many situations, patrol is at the greatest risk because everybody knows who they are. They're coming in a big car. They're wearing a uniform. And at that moment, patrol has the least amount of information. By the time the detectives get on scene, or if we're doing other types of operations, the people arriving will have had a pretty involved threat picture, a pretty involved set of information they can call upon. But patrol doesn't get that luxury. And so, you know, I can think of times where arriving on the scene of perhaps a domestic situation, and as you're arriving, you're of course getting snippets of information. Perhaps the person has a weapon. You're not sure who else you'll be facing once you come through that door. You're not sure if in one moment the victim may find you at this point to become the aggressor, and they may have decided not to want police involvement, and at that point you potentially have two threats. So the situations are particularly volatile, and they can change very rapidly.
You're listening to Coastline. We're talking about recent tensions between local law enforcement and members of the community and how some of those tensions might be eased or bridged. The number to call if you have a question for Deborah Dix Maxwell from the NAACP is 910-343-1138, or for Deputy Chief Mitch Cunningham from the Wilmington Police Department. Earl, welcome to Coastline. You're on the air.
Hello?
Hello. You're on the air.
Yes, ma'am. I guess my question is for the police deputy chief. And it seems like the police officers, I'm quite sure they go to the range and they practice shots, and they should be proficient with their weapon. Why do it seems like all the time that with most fatal shootings of black people is always headshots and not, you know, like the lower part of the body, the legs or something?
So you're talking about firing a shot in a tense situation that perhaps would not be a fatal shot.
Right.
Well, Deputy Chief.
Sure. The way police officers are taught to use deadly force is to aim for what's known as center mass, because we know from research that that's the easiest target to make, and if you've decided, based on your perception of the situation that you're faced with, that this now calls for deadly force, the biggest decision an officer can make in his or her career, if you are in that situation at that moment, we're taught that you want to hit center mass because it's more likely to stop the aggression, the force that you're facing.
But is there a time when an officer would choose to fire and not use deadly force, or every time an officer fires, he has made the decision that he's using deadly force, or she?
Sure, and he or she is using force to stop. You know, it is deadly by definition, but they're trying to stop the threat. One of the misperceptions that some folks have about perhaps that police could use, you know, shots in the leg or the arm, they are so difficult to hit in a highly stressful situation. And while we train our officers annually and make opportunities available for them to augment their training throughout the year, in that highly stressful situation, center mass is the most logical place for them to hit because it'll stop the threat and end up where they're aiming.
Earl, thanks so much for your call. You're listening to Coastline. We're talking about the balance between safe communities and citizens' rights. If you have a question, give us a call at 910-343-1138. Deborah Dix Maxwell, do you believe that an officer's view of other races or racial profiling affects the outcome of some of these highly charged situations?
Unfortunately, it appears to be true. We don't have a large number of diverse staff, which Ferguson implicated, and if you look at other cities, you'll see that ratio.
You're saying we don't have a large number of diverse people of different races on the police force.
The numbers may be close to the population here, but overall, there needs to be an improvement. If the city of Wilmington is strictly, mainly a lot of people of color, then the force should be reflective of that or understanding of the cultural differences and diversity when just approaching an officer. And to that effect, I'm ordering these forms that is called the 411 on the 50 through the National NAACP Legal Department to distribute to the community and hopefully have a meeting after we receive those.
When we come, can you tell me briefly what's in that brochure that you're holding up, the 411 on the 50?
The NAACP Real World Guide to Interacting with Law Enforcement. So it tells you do's and don'ts of your approach, how to respond in your home, in your car, or on the street, and what to do if you are arrested.
And I think we'll want to hear more about that when we come back from the break. You're listening to Coastline on 91.3 FM. We're talking about tensions between law enforcement and community members, especially in light of the Ferguson, Missouri shooting and subsequent local protests. If you have a question for the NAACP's Deborah Dix Maxwell or Deputy Chief of the Wilmington Police, Mitch Cunningham, give us a call, 910-343-1138. You can also send emails to coastline@whqr.org or tweet us @coastlinehqr. This is Coastline.